everyone, I'm Dr. Divya Kannan, and welcome to the second episode of this podcast, where I talk about the challenges and personal struggles that we face with our own mental health. Now, in today's episode, I explore one of the most prevalent aspects of anxiety, commonly known as overthinking, which is essentially thinking too much without a clear outcome or a resolution to our thoughts. And when I think about my own experiences of overthinking, particularly in this last year with the pandemic as the catalyst for anxiety for so many of us, it has felt a lot like navigating a maze, except that with overthinking, there's no clear exit or path to leave the maze once you enter it. And so all I felt like I ended up with was a sense of entrapment with my own thoughts. And when I talk about overthinking and anxiety with clients that I've worked with, I hear them describe it in a number of ways, but similar to how I feel about it, which is this sort of never-ending loop, a door that opens to nowhere, going down the rabbit hole, or a sense of spiraling or spinning your wheels in a way. And the common element here is that once you're in this cycle, it's hard to get out of, and there's often no solution or reward once you do get out of it. So nothing has really been accomplished. So in today's episode, I take a closer look at how to recognize whether you are an overthinker and how we can shift out of this way of thinking by observing our own state of mind, practicing acceptance, and in a way hitting reset on our thoughts. So let me walk you through some of the common signs of overthinking and how to recognize it. With overthinking, you may spend a lot of time ruminating over small decisions in your day-to-day life without taking any real action, because what if you make a wrong decision or don't choose the best option? And that thought in itself can cause significant anxiety. In a lot of ways, overthinking is almost a symptom of the fear of doing or saying the wrong thing, or that the outcome of our choices and decisions will work against us rather than for us. And overthinkers often tend to be perfectionists in their lives as well. It's not uncommon to find yourself awake at night trying to think about all the things you have to do the next day and maybe even for the week. And you might even go back into your past and think about things that you could have done differently. So overthinkers are often thinking extra hard because they're either trying to solve a problem that is often not in their control, or to prevent a problem that hasn't happened yet from occurring altogether. And another common feature is that you may feel that overthinking is in fact helpful. And this is based in that same belief that if I think long and hard about a problem, I might actually prevent something bad from happening or prevent something going wrong because I have thought through all the possibilities. So in some ways, this becomes a form of what we call magical thinking, the belief that there is some type of cause and effect between my thinking and an outcome, when in fact there's often no link between the two. Now, another common sign of overthinking is that we reach a stage of total paralysis where, when we have to make a decision or choice, we end up feeling so fatigued from all that worry and thinking that we are left feeling a lot more confused and ultimately feel very dissatisfied with the solutions that we do come up with. And what this leads to is a lot of avoidance and procrastination, which can in turn cause more anxiety. And overthinking also occurs a lot in relationships and our social interactions. If you think about your first date or an interview for a job or starting a new relationship or friendship, chances are we all engage in some amount of overthinking here around what might the other person be thinking of us. I know I've replayed in my head my version of what someone thought of me when they first met me. And for those of us that are serious overthinkers, we may try to do a lot of mind reading and try to discover the hidden meaning around whether others like us or not. And we eventually convince ourselves that we probably did something to make the person dislike us. We look for little signs that reinforce this, such as, you know, not getting an immediate response when we text someone, or questioning the tone of the text that we did get. And I think we also replay in our heads what we want to say to others. in case we say the wrong thing. Now, others may see this as you being considerate, that you're thinking before you speak, but internally it ends up feeling quite agonizing to the person playing out multiple scenarios of saying the right thing. Now, if we go a bit deeper into how overthinking unfolds, I had once worked with a young man who had come in for some help to manage anxiety. And a lot of it was related to his relationship with his boss. And he felt very anxious every time his boss wanted to catch up with him or had feedback to give him. And in some instances, his anxiety remained high, even when he was praised or rewarded for his performance. He was always on alert, looking for the next sign that his boss might be unhappy with him. And in the course of working with him, he asked me, you know, why would you not account for all the possible things that could go wrong in any situation? Because I can't be prepared for life if I don't know what all the possibilities are. And this is what I meant earlier when I said that, you know, overthinkers feel that the process of overthinking is actually helpful to them. But he did have a good point in that one should be prepared. So I agreed with him, and then I had him list down all the possibilities that he had in mind, which would prepare him for his meeting with his boss. And after he listed about 6 to 7 scenarios, ranging from the possibility of being fired to the chance of him having maybe done something unethical at work, I asked him if he felt more prepared. And I have to point out here that all the possibilities listed were negative. He didn't consider any positive ones. And so what happened as a result of listing those possibilities, his anxiety had deepened and his belief had strengthened that he would end up having a negative interaction with his boss. He didn't really feel more prepared, which is what he actually wanted. He just felt more anxious. And so the moral of the story for him was to really learn the difference between overthinking a situation and actual preparation for a situation. So given that overthinking doesn't really help us prepare or actively solve problems, how can we shift out of this habit? And one of my favorite practices to shift out of overthinking and worry is called meta-awareness, more recently known as mentalization. But meta-awareness is about self-observation and understanding your own frame of mind in the moment. And the premise here is that we often aren't aware of what we are experiencing even while we are engaged in it. For example, it's not uncommon that you've started to read a book and then notice that you've turned a few pages and you have no idea what you've just read. You didn't notice that you weren't paying attention because you were on autopilot for a few minutes. So meta-awareness then is the act of taking a step back, observing and noticing what just happened and saying, hey, you weren't paying attention, your mind wandered to what you want to eat for dinner and other things. And once you notice yourself doing that, then you can slowly nudge yourself back to reading that book. And so when it comes to overthinking, practicing meta-awareness sounds like saying to yourself, oh, I notice I've gone into that thinking spiral again. And I know this because I have many thoughts in my head right now, and I'm using a lot of what-if statements in my thinking. When you start to practice this observation and attention, then you can slowly arrest the cycle of overthinking. So how can you start to function from a place of meta-awareness? It does take a bit of time and intentional practice to get to that state of meta-awareness and to start to observe your thoughts, your feelings as they come up. And in many ways, meta-awareness is similar to that concept of mindfulness, which is essentially a gentle, non-judgmental, and open inquiry into yourself. And it gets better with practice. So if you imagine yourself taking a physical step back from your thoughts to observe them, literally visualize in this moment what that would look like. You stepping back from, let's say, a cloud of thoughts. And then ask yourself as the observer, can I notice what I feel scared of in this moment? Or where do I feel the tension in my body right now? Or is there an image that comes up for me in this moment when I have all these thoughts in my head? So when I'm able to take a step back and observe my thoughts in a quiet, undisturbed space, then I'm able to develop an awareness of the fact that I am feeling anxiety. And that's why I'm engaged in this cycle of overthinking. So meta-awareness essentially gives us insight into our current state of mind, into our emotions. And once I'm aware that I'm engaged in overthinking, then I can notice it and gently instruct myself to step out of it. But if I'm in that autopilot mode, where my mind is just wandering aimlessly from one thought to another, then I feel more stuck and frustrated. Now, I've worked with clients and used different methods to step out of the cycle temporarily, whether it's tools like music, meditation, exercise, sometimes listing out your thoughts to focus only on the thoughts that you can control, or only on the problems that are within your control, holding back the urge to problem solve and fix things all the time, or focusing on your breath and bringing your attention back to the present, which I find very useful. And as I've discussed, observing your thoughts so you can understand why you're engaged in them and what the feelings underlying those thoughts are. Another practice that I find very helpful with overthinking is called radical acceptance. Now, radical acceptance is saying to yourself, I can't control how things will go. And as terrifying as that is, it's a reality I need to accept in order to get myself out of this cycle of worry and overthinking and disappointment. Now, how do you practice radical acceptance? I think first you start off by observing whether you're trying to fight something that organically exists and likely won't change. So for example, the young man I had worked with, he gradually learned to accept that he could not always predict his boss's behavior or did not know what his boss would want to talk to him about. Now, once he let go of that expectation for himself that he had to be able to predict his boss's behavior, he was then able to reduce his overthinking and shift to a more acceptance state, which was saying, I don't know what's going to happen, and that's just the way it is. I don't like it, but I need to tolerate it because I can't change it. The second thing to do is to acknowledge that you can deal with the emotional fallout of stressful situations, and you can get the support you need if indeed you are dissatisfied with the choice you made, or if an interview didn't go just as you planned it out in your head. And I think acknowledging that disappointment is something that is universal. And from time to time, we do need to face that feeling head on. I think a third thing that we can do is, you know, make a list of actions that you would take. If you could step into the shoes of imperfection and accept that in this moment, there's no perfect decision or no one right choice. And this is a tough one for perfectionists. But it's an important part of their journey into acceptance because it allows for a lot more options to be heard out. So these are some of the strategies that work for me and for some of the clients that I have worked with. And if you are actively trying to work on overthinking, I would definitely recommend doing so while working with a therapist and getting the right professional advice that is suited to what you might need. So to sum up today's episode, I think what's important to keep in mind when it comes to overthinking is to step back and be an observer of your own thoughts and engage in that practice of self-inquiry. To notice whether you're in that state of decision paralysis where you can't take action on something because you might be stuck on taking the perfect step. And to create space intentionally for other options, even if they seem imperfect or not fully thought through. And of course, to really start to build more acceptance into your life around the things that you can't change, as scary as that is for all of us. So as we come to the end of this episode, a big thank you for listening in today. I would love to hear your thoughts about this episode and whether your practice of meta-awareness and acceptance is going in the direction you'd like it to go. So please share your thoughts with me and write to me on Instagram. I will be back with episode 3 soon, and I hope that all of you have a healthy week ahead of you.